Will you please turn with me in your Forms and Prayers book to page 256, where we'll read together Lord's Day 50. Lord's Day 50, page 256 of your Forms and Prayers book. I'll ask the question, and we'll recite together the answer. Question and answer 125. What does the fourth petition mean? Give us this day our daily bread means. Provide for all our physical needs, that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Therefore, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone. Our scripture reading this evening comes to us from Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, which can be found on page 73 of your pew Bibles. We're going to read the whole chapter of Exodus chapter 16, all 36 verses. Hear God's word this evening. They, that is Israel, set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is in between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumbled against us, against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, dew lay all around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. And when the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall take each an omer, according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent." And the people of Israel did so. They gathered, some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over until the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. On the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over, lay it aside to be kept till the morning." So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none." On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in this place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day." And so the people rested on the seventh day. Now the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it, and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations." As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. An omer is the tenth part of an ephah. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you as we hear your word this evening, and we humbly ask that you would reveal to us all that you have to say. We ask that your Spirit would powerfully accompany what is said, and that ultimately, in all things, you would be honored and glorified. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, do you worry about what you're going to eat tomorrow? Better yet, are you concerned that when you get home after this evening service, there won't be any food in the cupboards? Now, I'm not talking about missing your favorite snacks, but no food. Cupboards bare, empty. Can you think of a time in your life when you were seriously concerned about where your next meal would come from? You see, for most of us, it's hard for us to imagine a world where we might regularly worry about where our next meal will come from. For us, all we need to do is spend an hour going to the grocery store, and we see the abundance of the food at our disposal. When you go to the grocery store, usually the question isn't whether you have enough money to buy the food for the next week, but what kind of chips or ice cream you might choose out of the myriad of options. Even in today's environment, where there's talk of food shortages, how many of us actually worry about starving to death? Perhaps some of you have even stockpiled a few months' worth of food supplies, just in case. But even in that situation, it's usually more about having a good selection, a healthy selection of food, than truly worrying about going completely hungry. In fact, to highlight just the vast abundance of food that we enjoy in the United States, we only need to look at the food waste in America. The USDA estimates that 30 to 40% of the food supply is wasted. And that equates to approximately 133 billion pounds, or $161 billion of food waste annually. With that kind of excess, it's easy to see why so many of us don't worry about where our next meal will come from. And yet, in spite of our abundance, the Lord still commands us and teaches us to pray for our daily bread. And that's what I hope to bring to you this evening, a sermon on Lord's Day 50, the fourth petition of our Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. As we examine this, we'll see that the Lord Jesus teaches us to pray for our daily bread. To explore this, we'll use the following 3 points: the source, the blessing, and the trust. In addition, we'll be using God's word in relation to the Israelites and his feeding of them in the wilderness to illustrate the Lord's teaching. You see, for the Israelites, and also for many others in the world today, they don't have the same kinds of privileges which we enjoy regarding food. You see, as the Israelites are on their way to the promised land, they're out in the wilderness, a dry and desert place, a place that isn't conducive, like Iowa, to growing food. And yet the Israelites still need to support themselves by the land. And boys and girls, there aren't any grocery stores around. And so what are they to do? What's a people to do to survive in a land that can't grow anything? Well, because of this problem, instead of calling out to the Lord, instead of trusting in the care of the Lord, they begin to grumble to Moses and Aaron in Exodus chapter 16. They complain that they wish they died in Egypt rather than starve to death in the wilderness. You see, at least while under the oppressive rule of Pharaoh, while making those bricks without straw, at least they could eat meat and bread. In one sense, it's quite remarkable that the Israelites don't cry out to the Lord and trust in their provision, because the Lord has already shown himself has shown his power to them by delivering them from the Egyptians by the 10 plagues. He's already shown his power by splitting the Red Sea. At the end of the previous chapter, he had made the bitter water sweet and drinkable. And the Israelites had moved on from that place to a place called Elim, where they had 12 springs of good water and 70 palm trees. Water in abundance, one for every tribe, and palm trees, one for every elder. By this we see that the Israelites have been well supplied and have been in places of abundance. The Lord had shown time and time again his care over them and his ability to provide for them. And yet as they move on from Elim and deeper into the wilderness, they fail to trust in him and instead begin to grumble to Moses. The Israelites have failed in our passage to recognize that the Lord is the source of everything good. At the beginning of our catechism, question and answer 125, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread" means provide for all our physical needs so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good. The Lord had richly provided for the Israelites thus far, and yet they had failed to recognize that he was the source of everything good. They'd failed to recognize how the Lord had provided for them time and time again. The Israelites were a discontent people and prone to complaining. In Egypt, they had complained to Moses that he was making them work harder as he sought to deliver them from slavery to Pharaoh. At the Red Sea, they grumbled and accused Moses of bringing them out to the desert to die. They were bitter and they grumbled at the waters of Marah. And even after seeing God's provision, making that water sweet, after seeing the Lord's provision with the 12 springs and the 70 palm trees at Elim, they continue to grumble. They continue to complain and fail to recognize the Lord as the source of all their provisions. The first question that we might ask ourselves, do the Israelites have any grounds for complaining in our passage? Now, perhaps the answer seems obvious. They really don't have any reason to complain and grumble. But this is made even more evident when we consider that the Israelites are not even running out of food yet. They're not completely starving. You see, in the very next chapter, they will talk about needing water for their livestock. What this means is that they obviously still have livestock here and herds that they took out of Egypt. They could have received milk from them if necessary, as well as meat if they slaughtered these cattle. So they're not starving quite yet in our passage, but have merely confused what they wanted with what they needed. One commentator says this: "This is often the source of our discontentment, thinking that our greeds are really our needs." It's like the child that comes to their parent asking for a snack right before dinner, and the parent says no. And then they complain, "But I'm starving." The reality is, they're not actually starving. They're just merely hungry, and they want what they want. We also must be careful to recognize, in the midst of our own abundance, that the Lord is the only source of everything good which we have and which we receive. Praying that the Lord would provide for our physical needs, our daily bread, has as part of its purpose that we recognize that He is the only source of everything good. See, it can be just as easy for us to exaggerate our difficulties and to remember the past with rose-colored glasses. It could be easy for us to complain when we don't get what we want or what we think we're entitled for. And when we do this, we fail to recognize that the Lord is the source of everything good. As we come to the Lord, asking Him to provide for us, we want to be reminded that by this very act of asking, He's the one we receive everything from, and that it's not just a product of our own work or entitlement. Now, in addition to recognizing that the Lord is the source of everything good, we must also recognize that nothing we do or receive can do us any good without the Lord's blessing. And this is our second point this evening, the blessing. Our catechism puts it this way: neither our care, nor our work, nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Now, because of the Israelites' grumbling, the Lord tells them that He will provide for them their daily food. In verse 12, the Lord tells them that that very evening they will eat meat, and in the morning they will have bread. And just like they were told, that very evening the quail come and cover the camp. And in the morning the dew produces a fine flake-like substance on the ground that can be made into bread. The Israelites, when they see this substance on the ground, they say to one another, "What is it?" Literally, what they say to one another is, "Manna?" That's where the word for manna comes from. Manna literally means, "What is it?" And so the people, they're fed by this manna. And the Lord continues to feed the people with this manna for the whole 40 years that they're in the wilderness. And yet the Lord wanted the Israelites, the people, to recognize that this wasn't a product of their own hard work, but it was only because He had blessed it. He tells the people to only collect enough for the day. And when the people try to collect extra, to leave some for the next day, we're told in verse 20 that it would breed worms and stink. Though some may have been pragmatic, we might call it today, trying to store up a little extra, but it's the Lord that commanded them to only collect enough for that day. Part of the reason for this was that they would recognize that without the Lord's blessing, their work would do them no good. There's another good example of the Lord teaching the Israelites this very same lesson, and it's in Numbers chapter 11. The people had been eating manna for some time, and they again begin to complain and look back to their time in Egypt with fondness. They get sick of manna, this daily bread from heaven. And so the Lord sends a multitude of quail for them to eat. And this is a separate occasion than the quail given to them in our account here in Exodus. This is a one-time event of quail. And now, fast forward, let's turn actually to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11, if you would. I'm just going to read a few verses at the end. Verse 31, Numbers chapter 11. So after the Lord had provided quail in Exodus 16, they continued to eat manna every day. And now, sometime later, they complain. All we've got to look at is this manna, and the Lord promises that He will give them meat. Verse 31 of Numbers 11. Then a wind from the Lord sprang up, and it brought quail from the sea and let them fall beside the camp, about a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side around the camp and about 2 cubits above the ground. And the people rose all that day and all night and all the next day and gathered the quail. And those who gathered least gathered 10 homers. And they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. While the meat was yet between their teeth, before it was consumed, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord struck down the people with a very great plague. Therefore the name of that place was called Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people who had the craving. From Kibroth Hattaavah, the people journeyed to Hazeroth, and there they remained at Hazeroth. Just as we read in this account, the quail are so abundant that there's quail on the ground for a day's journey on all sides of the camp. That's a 2 days journey diameter, 40 to 50 miles total. And it's not like there's just a few quail here or there. It says that the quail are 2 cubits deep. That's 3 feet. Just imagine that. 40 to 50 miles around, 3 feet worth of quail. In the verse 32, it says that the least that a person gathered was 10 homers. And there are approximately 6 bushels in a homer, or 58 gallons. And so that would mean the person that gathered the least amount of quail would have gathered over 60 bushels or 580 gallons worth. That's a remarkable amount of meat. This is a quantity of meat that not even the most ambitious family could hope to eat before it's spoiled. This is an abundant, overflowing blessing of meat. Some sources say that 10 homers of quail could be up to 1,100 birds. And while we don't know for sure, we do know that it was so much that it came out their nostrils and that they would never want quail for supper ever again. And yet by this excessive collection of meat, we also see the greed of the Israelites. And we're told that the Lord has his anger kindled against them while the meat was yet between their teeth, and he strikes the people with a great plague. This great blessing of meat did the Israelites no good because the Lord had not blessed it. The word used for plague here is similar to the word used to describe the 10 plagues against the Egyptians. You see, the Israelites had craved Egypt, and so the Lord gave it to them. Even the name that they gave to this place, Kibroth Hattaavah, means the graves of the craving. The people had craved Egypt. They'd been discontent with the blessing of daily bread from the Lord and had failed to recognize that not only was the Lord the source of everything good, but that without his blessing, even what they had received from him as a gift would do them no good. It's important for us to recognize in our own lives that everything that we have, not only the gifts which the Lord gives us, but even our own hard work and care, that without the Lord's blessing, they don't do us any good. You see, we all know people who work hard, people who are diligent and gifted, and yet it seems like anything that can go wrong goes wrong. And yet we also know others, don't we? People who don't seem very responsible. They don't seem to work very hard, and yet they always seem to land on their feet. They always seem to be so prosperous. Now, this isn't a reason to be lazy. It's not a reason to become a fatalist. The Lord does call each of us to use our gifts diligently, to work hard at everything he's called us to with care and attentiveness. In fact, the Lord often does bless those who work hard. But in spite of this, we must not fail to recognize that without the Lord's blessing, none of your hard work produces any good at all. You see, it's not your hard work that produces the results. It's the Lord. And everything that you receive and all that you do, you must recognize that if the Lord doesn't bless it, it does you no good. This is another purpose that we're told to pray for our daily bread. To recognize that everything that we have and receive, either by hard work or care or gift, will do us no good unless the Lord blesses it. And so when we pray for the Lord to supply our daily bread, Remember, not only that he is the source of everything good, but that without his blessing, nothing you have or receive will be of any good to you. Finally, in our third point, the trust, we see that the final purpose for praying this petition for daily bread is that we withdraw our trust from creatures and place it in God alone. What was God's purpose for giving the Israelites the manna each day? What was God's purpose for not allowing them to keep any of it overnight except for the Sabbath? Well, Exodus chapter 16, verse 4 says, "The people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I might test them whether they will walk in my law or not." Later in the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord expands on this purpose of testing and says this in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. "You shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God had led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." But in the very next verse, verse 3, he says, "And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your father know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Ultimately, the purpose for feeding the people daily with manna was that they would be humble and that they would trust in the Lord alone for all their needs. That they would recognize not only that he was the only source of everything good, not only that without his blessing, nothing they did would do them any good, but principally that they would look only to him, trusting in his word. It's easy for us to trust in so many things other than the Lord. Be honest. How often have you thought to yourself, "We've got a little savings in the bank. There's some groceries in the cupboard. There might be some food shortages, but we're going to be okay." It's so easy in our affluent and prosperous society to trust in our finances, to trust in our governments, trust in the weather, to think that since we've always had plenty, well, things are going to continue tomorrow and forever. Maybe things might be a little more leaner down the road, but we're going to be okay. It's not like we're going to starve or anything. And yet, in spite of our prosperity, the Lord still wants us to trust in him alone. Part of the purpose for praying for daily bread is to foster this trust in the Lord alone and to live by every word that comes from his mouth. The Lord, Jesus, teaches us to pray in this way. But he also teaches us by example. Jesus quotes this very passage in Deuteronomy chapter 8 to the devil when he was tempted to turn stones into bread. But unlike the Israelites, Jesus wasn't just hungry, but he was actually in danger of starving. He'd been in the wilderness, just like the Israelites, but he had went 40 days without food. Jesus, physically, would have been on the brink of starvation. And yet he doesn't grumble. He doesn't accuse God of mistreatment, but instead he trusts in the Lord and the Father's provision. See, ultimately, the Israelites failed the test of manna. Ultimately, they had failed to recognize that the Lord was the source of everything good. Ultimately, they had failed to recognize that without the blessing of the Lord, nothing they had or did would do them any good. Ultimately, they'd failed to trust in every word that came from the mouth of the Lord. And yet where Israel failed, Jesus succeeds. And because of his obedience, because of his perfect life, because he succeeded where Israel failed, because he died for you, his perfect righteousness, his perfect obedience is yours by faith. And this means that when you fail to recognize that the Lord is the source of everything good, when you think that your own hard work puts that food on the table, when you fail to recognize that none of the gifts given to you will do you any good without his blessing, when you think that your own savings accounts will make you happy, when you fail to trust in the Lord alone, but find yourself trusting in your own efforts, in your own successes, and the money in your own account, when you find yourself grumbling just like the Israelites, be reminded as you pray for daily bread. That it's only because Jesus never failed. It's only because Jesus always trusted that you can begin to recognize and trust in the Lord alone. It's by looking to Jesus and his example of obedience that you can begin to mirror his own obedience. And yet, even in our meager efforts, we must trust in the Lord Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who came to succeed and who did succeed where Israel failed and where we fail. And by this we claim, by faith, his perfect obedience and are found in him with his perfect righteousness. And so, brothers and sisters, bring this request to the Lord every day. Pray for your daily bread. Recognize more and more that he is the only source of everything good. That without his blessing, nothing of what you have or do will be of any good to you. And trust in him alone, knowing that he will provide for all your needs for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have supplied us so abundantly with our daily bread. We ask you for grace and patience even as we see our own tendencies to take these great blessings for granted. We ask that you would help us to recognize you as the source of everything good, that we would recognize that no work or gift we receive could do us any good without your blessing. But most of all, help us to trust in you alone. Help us to repent of the various things that we might be prone to look toward for our security. May we be continually reminded that all good things come from your fatherly hand. And so be with us this week and grant to each of us, out of your abundant grace, our daily bread, even as we look to you, our true and living bread, Jesus Christ, our Lord.